Welcome to Burr News Current Affairs Podcast with Jeremy Deacon. Listen at your leisure on www.burrnews.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the latest Burr News Facebook Live interview. Joined here today by Mark Pettingill. Mr. Pettingill has made the headlines because he has resigned from the OBA and will resign as an MP at the next election. Good afternoon, Mr. Pettingill. Thank you for joining us.
Jeremy, thank you. Nice to see you guys.
Why have you quit?
Well, it's a myriad of reasons, I guess, you know, that have built up over a period of some time. But I think the two main planks in my reflection and consideration were, one, you know, that I'm a lawyer in the business I'm involved with, and it's been pretty public at times that you know, I've had conflicts with the government on legal issues. One was a civil matter that is ongoing that you know, the Attorney General tried to conflict us out of, my law firm out of. Of course, the government passed.
That's the gaming one you're talking about.
No, that's another one. That's a civil matter that was brought up in the House. And, you know, we had issues with regard to that. And then, you know, there was the gaming legislation. I was, of course, the only lawyer that had put forward that they represented gaming interests. I'm the only member in the country of the International Association of Gaming Advisors. And, you know, it's part and parcel of what I do and what I look to do. And, of course, the legislation, you know, endeavored at least to conflict us out of that, in our view. And then there have just been, you know, other matters that have arisen and now continue to arise that put me in a position of just of legal conflict that makes it difficult. And then, of course, you know, the fact of the matter is that for some time I've just been diametrically, philosophically, and, you know, opposed to the approach of the government on a number of matters. You know, start with same-sex marriage at the top and the human rights issue. We clearly had a head knock on that. In a big way. That, to me, is just absolutely fundamental. It makes it very, very difficult, you know, and it flows from there.
There seems to be kind of two issues there, one policy, one personnel, perhaps. In the policy, in terms of the gaming, do you feel at all that was vindictive by government, or was that justified in them doing that?
No, I think that was kicked off by a misguided gaming commission, and, you know, that maybe was looking at what they did in other jurisdictions and then decided to parachute that in here, without necessarily giving, you know, it a lot of thought or giving it too much thought. I don't know. I don't think it was vindictive. I never took it as vindictive.
Suggestions were that it was vindictive.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, look, you know, perception is everything, right? And the fact that, you know, Sean Crockwell, my one of my very best friends and the partner in my law firm now left government and became, you know, a private practicing lawyer, and then suddenly the bill came. Like, the timing is unfortunate at best, right? You know, the timing is unfortunate that he got his house searched by immigration, you know, all of these things. The perception's not good. You know, drilling down on the actual hardcore evidence of is somebody in a room saying, let's, you know, get those guys and be vindictive. I'm not a conspiracy theory kind of guy, right? Yeah, I'm an evidence guy, so you've got to, you know, it's one thing to think it, but to establish it is another thing. And I haven't seen anything that supports that. So in that case, I just, like, let it go. Like, oh, it's unfortunately coincidental. It's just like, you know, it turned out yesterday we found out that I resigned 365 days to the day that Sean had resigned. We had no idea. Still, somebody pointed out yesterday afternoon, complete and pure coincidence. You know, one you'd put on in Vegas, we didn't know. And it was just kind of funny that somehow people were tying that in with some great kind of conspiracy.
you mentioned the same-sex marriage and sort of on the other issues. Were there any other issues like that that you were in disagreement with government with?
You know, there were, and that's a natural thing. You're going to have disagreements. The difficulty is if they become, you know, fundamental.
And they have with me.
And I, you know, the public one has been the same-sex marriage because we've litigated that. Frankly, you know, on a human rights issue, that would always be enough. Like, you know, we're not on the same page. Everybody's not on the same page. So I don't want to be in the group. I tried to work with that for a period of time and have done. But there were certainly other issues. They don't encroach on the, for me, what is the significance of a human rights issue. But they're significant. You know, the position on gaming and, you know, the position with regard to a number of other policy factors, cannabis reform, you know, things like that, where we just were not on the same page.
So you've just left the party behind. You've had a sort of gone different ways.
Well, we have. Yeah, that's all that happened. I mean, it's been enlarged. You know, it hasn't been one event. It's been a culmination of things. And just through attrition, when you've just parted company, it's been very sad for me because, you know, it started in my kitchen, I've always said. Like, people know that, right?
With the OBA.
So, well, the BDA did. Of course, it grew into the OBA when the UBP, you know, rightly disbanded and failed. What I had envisioned and what my friends and colleagues had hoped for and dreamed of at the time has just simply not come to fruition. And it's understandable, again, looking at the perception of it, you can't fault people for thinking that the perception is it looks like the UBP again. You know, it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Is it?
That's the perception.
Do you think that's right?
Yeah, no, in a lot of ways, yes. In a lot of ways, yes. Yeah, absolutely. In a lot of ways, I have felt that strongly. I've expressed it openly. I've felt that, you know, that is, as I say, perception is reality. I felt that way, yeah. And I've expressed that. I've expressed it publicly. I've certainly expressed it privately, and I've expressed it to the party.
You mentioned about the BDA and the OBA. Is it too far-fetched to say further down the line there might be another parting of the ways?
It's too far-fetched for Mark Pettingill at this stage, yes. Do I think that would be a good thing, you know, for Bermuda? Maybe. Do I think that to have, you know, independent members like you're going to see for the next little while that speak to issues, that speak to the interests of the country, that vote their conscience would be in the greatest interest of the country? Absolutely. You know, that is what I'd like to see. This whole thing in a small place like this, you know, to be under the whip in a population of 65,000 people where, you know, you've got to vote away a certain way and there's a collective responsibility in cabinet, you know, where you've got to go along and be accountable even if you're diametrically opposed, let's say again. Mm-hmm. You know, to me is not, has not over the years and does not now serve us well, this two-party system, you know. But, changing it, I tried, and my colleagues tried, my friends tried. And do I see the ability to say, like, hey, let's get a bunch of, you know, well-meaning people like myself and Sean Crockwell and say we'll run as independents and make a difference? The only way you can really make a difference as an independent if you're in the situation that you're in right now, where it's split down the middle and you've got two guys in the middle that really swing the vote.
Which was pretty much my next question. Yeah. There's one other question I want to come to. But
you can't design that, of course.
Talk about the coalition. I mean, yourself and Sean Crockwell are, you know, kind of two most important people in the House of Assembly at the moment. It's effectively a coalition government.
I heard that this morning. Yeah.
In a way you are. It's effectively a coalition government. The OBA is going to rely on you two.
Sure they are.
You hold the balance of power. How responsible, I suppose, for want of a better word, are you going to be in terms of the government? Are you going to back the government? Will you vote with your conscience? You've already said that you're diametrically opposed on some issues.
To a number of issues.
Yeah. How's it going to go?
Well, the way that I see it going is that it may be that maybe Sean and I bring some legislation. That'd be interesting. You know, maybe it's that the opposition brings some, legislation that we could support. They tabled, one or two things. The other thing is the government has a legislative agenda. I've certainly said that, you know, we have both said it's not our intention in any way to get in the way of that, to undermine the budget. You know, it's not about destabilizing and switching it up. I think the democratic process to run. So to answer your question, one, in taking this move, has to be extremely responsible with it. You know, and I made that statement. I've spoken with members of the opposition. I spoke to the Premier and said, listen, I am not about at this stage of, you know, overnight that I would support a motion of no confidence or anything like
right.
that. I'm not going to do that. That's not what the move was about. If I was going to be in that position, I'd have crossed the floor as people do and said, like, you know, here you go.
I mean, your statement that you made is quite interesting, and it leaves it open to interpretation. You say, I have no doubt the government will have my support on any number of pending legislative matters. You're not saying every legislative matter.
That's what I actually said.
But you're not saying...
That's what was necessarily reported by everybody else.
That leaves the door wide open.
Sure does. Yeah.
To you challenging the government.
Yeah. No question. I haven't said, like, oh, I'll support the government. Why would I leave if I was going to support the government? I'm part of the thing is that because I've had issues, because I'm diametrically opposed on things, then I won't. You know, if government decided to turn around and bring a, you know, some, or a, if they decided to support, and some people did, right? Some people did support an amendment to the Human Rights Act, which carved out, you know, same-sex marriages. Well, you're not getting my support on that, you know? So there's no way that, you know, by any statement I'm saying I'm going to support, you know, without question, the entire of the government's agenda. I don't necessarily know what they're going to do. I know a number of matters that are coming through the pipeline that I think are important, probably will get my support.
You know? Are there any others that you know of that won't get your support?
No, not at this stage, but that's not necessarily, that's not, you know, been shared with me at this
what
point
about
either.
What about with Sean? Have you talked about this?
Of course we do. Yeah, we talk all the time. We
just in terms of your support or not.
No, those things tend to arise at the time. So there's no big ticket item, you know, that I see that we're saying, well, you're not going to get our support on that. I mean, the health bill has gone backwards and forwards and had, you know, a number of permutations to it, and people considering it, the doctors lobbying and all the rest of it. You know, that's still, I think, somewhat up in the air, but it may be getting there, you know. So that's one that jumps out for real consideration, but I haven't, like, guaranteed, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll support that. I don't know yet. Let me see what the final product is.
Has the Premier spoken to you? Have you spoken to the Premier since your resignation?
No, the Premier came and sat next to me this morning in the House, and we had a chat. I ran to the Premier when I left the office last night, and, you know, this is the joy of Bermuda, and I called him down the street, and we stood on the corner, like, talking for about 15
cordial
minutes. Yeah, he's a class guy. I mean, you know, and I know, and it's been hard because I know it must have hurt him. I mean, it certainly, you know, hurts from a political standpoint, but I'm sure he, you know, we're friends, so it's very difficult, you know. Sometimes, look, you know, sometimes if you're going out and playing tennis with your mate and you completely thrash him, right, you know, you have this element of you that's going to feel bad, you know, because you may usually be on the same level. And then he has a bad day and he gets thrashed. You're going to feel bad about that. He's still your mate, even though you thrashed him. But, you know, sometimes this is the way you've got to go, right?
Has David Burt, leader of the opposition, reached out to you?
I talk to David Burt all the time. So, you know, very,
since your resignation, though, is he
very cordial. Yeah, he came and sat next to me this morning. We had a chat, you know. But he's not
brunch.
Coming over and saying, like, he didn't bring me a green PLP tie and saying, right, "Could you put this on?" No, you know, you know, I made the joke this morning. My wife said it's St. Patrick's Day. You know, you should put your green vest on instead of your red one. And, like, you know, if I'd walked in the house with a green vest on, it would have been, you know, I'd have had a hard time explaining it's because of St. Patrick's Day, right? So.
I understand.
But it would have been. So, yeah.
I understand that there was that you may have been presented with an opportunity to go back into cabinet. Is that the case?
That was the rumors and the speculation. I think that I think that flatteringly that option was there. Well, it was there.
Was that in the last shakeup? Was it the last shuffle?
I mean, you know, that had the consideration for me to be back in the cabinet has been there in recent times. Yes,
and
I respectfully declined that.
Well, why did you decline?
Because
with cabinet, maybe get more influence even than on the back benches as an independent?
No, not necessarily. That's the whole point, you see. You can, you know, as far as influence goes, if you look at, you know, the positions in cabinet and what they are, you're just one voice. And like I said, you know, no man is an island, so you can be as vociferous as you want to. My difficulty was, like, in looking at it, saying, well, you know, I may take a certain strong view on this, and then you have to, in fact, join with collective responsibility with others that don't agree with that. And when I looked at that, I thought, I'm going to have, you know, trying in being as objective as possible and, you know, and reflecting on my own integrity, which I hold very dear, you know, wouldn't have been able to do that. I didn't see being able to sit there and just be like, yes, okay, to things that were going to come up with particular, you know, personnel around the table.
Can you expand on that?
Yeah, there were people that you know, sit around the table in the current cabinet that I, you know, just our politics, our views, our approach, it has become evidently clear to me that it's very, very different. You know, I refer to myself as a bleeding heart liberal. And, you know, there are people in the current government that I see very, very, as very conservative in their politics, you know, even right-wing conservative, right? And those are pretty big bridges to cross. You know, they are. And if you get to the point where you're looking at a cabinet and you're saying, I think in the balance that my kind of liberal views are not going to influence or win the day on a majority of occasions, and particularly on significant matters should they arise, then you're better not, you know, subjecting yourself to that punishment, right?
You're going to step down as an MP altogether at the next election. Where you stand now, do you think the OBA will win the next election?
You know, who knows? I think it's entirely up in the air. I think it's been up in the air for some time. And, you know, it all depends. People, you know, look at the job that's being done, and that'll be a matter for the population to decide. I don't think that the OBA has gotten itself into a great position. I don't think it's in as good a position as I would like to have seen it in. I don't think it's as good a position as it could have been in, with a number of things that I believe that could have been done.
What such as?
I think we could have implemented casino gaming over a year ago. I think that, you know, within that we could have had 200 jobs on the table right away, with the ability to get people in working programs paid for it. You know, that's 200 jobs, and I know that, you know, that there was a program to do that and workable. I was part of that, and that could have been done. It boggles my mind that it wasn't. I think that the, you know, current commission was obstructive in that, and got in the way. And we've spoken openly on that. I think they hijacked the whole, you know, that's a bit of a harsh term, but the whole original government model of a boutique casino, and just kind of went off on a tangent, which wasn't where we needed to go. And I believe very strongly, and nobody will move me on that, that it could have been done and that we could have created jobs on that one thing alone, you know, a long time ago. I think on same-sex marriage, we needed to be bold and move with the rest of the world. And had you done it a long time ago, you know, it would have settled and it wouldn't become like such an election issue. You know, there were people that held the view that that was going to damage, you know, the party somehow. And I felt that if, you know, love wins, as I said, and if you had like a human rights issue and you propagated that enough, that people would leave it and you'd move on and you couldn't be condemned for that. So, you know, those things, you know, I could have seen as making a pretty, you know, significant difference, you know. And just sometimes just being aware of particular things and particular decisions. The airport could have been handled much better. It could have been handled better. Yeah. You know, I made a head and heart speech on that one because I said, look, you know, it's, you know, in my heart, I have the great difficulty with the way that this has been gone about, you know, and Sean Crockwell and I mediated that kind of, you know, to kind of stop the protests and everything else. Oh, so right. We get in and mm-hmm. debate it. We really did.
That was December the 2nd.
To make it happen, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think that immigration and the protests that happened there, again, you know, Sean Crockwell and I were in the midst of that. I think that could have been handled far better. You know, and don't even get me started on how we ended up with pepper spray going around the place, because, you know, I stand on categorically that could have been handled much better. So if you just took those things alone and you were able to make the adjustments and make them happen, I think you may have put yourself in a greater position of strength than of, you know, not necessarily being able to say which way it's going to go.
Just changing the subject slightly away from politics, you mentioned the same-sex marriage case. You are expecting a judgment any time now. Now, is there a possibility that Wayne Ferbert could come back with his amendments to the Human Rights Act post your hopeful victory and therefore make it irrelevant? Because
Wayne came over to me. We're good friends, of course, and he came, you know, I've been for many years. He came over to me afterwards and said, like, you know, I'll still be bringing him back to the house. But, you know, depending on how it goes, I'm hoping here I will have a long sit down and talk about it, and, you know, and we'll see. That's the way it goes. That's the way it should go, right? Sit down and, you know, you're diametrically opposed on that issue. I would like to think that if it goes a certain way, and this makes the independence position, you know, pretty significant, because obviously Sean and I are huge supporters of any human rights issue. And, you know, it'd be a question of how courageous the government is prepared to be, the current minority government, on that issue, in addressing, you know, that bill. And it's interesting because, you know, I haven't thought about it this way before now, but you talk about stand or fall. It'll be interesting to see if it goes that way, how that will unfold.
Indeed it will. Well, I'm sure we'll be looking out for that. Yeah. And again, just to me, while I've got you really as much as anything else, it came about this week that it emerged that you're representing some of the former Premier Ewer Brown's patients. We have to be careful what we say about that, obviously, with various lawsuits knocking around. But can you tell me what that is about?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. I actually am not personally representing any patients at this stage. Sean Crockle is representing patient. The firm is. And I'm involved with that. Obviously, we talk about all the cases that we do. Sean Crockle and I did have a very public meeting with a large number of the patients of the Brown Dower Clinic. And I anticipate that it's likely that we will probably be instructed to represent more people with regard to the warrant issue as against the Bermuda Police Force. That's obviously not a government issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it better not be a government issue. It's a Bermuda Police Force issue. It obviously rolls in because then you've got the whole Leahy government civil suit, which I think is horrendously ill-advised. I anticipate, we may well represent people there. Sure.
You mentioned that. I have to ask now, why was it ill-advised, the Leahy government lawsuit?
I don't like the timing of it. Leahy is a usually popular place for Bermudians. I go there. I am currently at this stage not satisfied that it's a immensely solid case or it's in the best interest of a government to bring a civil action against a very wealthy, very powerful U.S. medical institution in the U.S. at exorbitant costs. You better be very, very confident that you've got a case and that you're going to win.
If you were AG, would you have done that?
No. Not on the basis of what I know. No. And I certainly would have, but there's approaches to these things, and this may have been the approach. I mean, the first approach would be to get an objective opinion from a law firm that you clearly indicate to if your opinion is that we have a strong case, you're not representing us. You start there. Because that way you get an objective opinion, and you may well pay a lot of money for your opinion, right? But that way you will really have an objective opinion where a qualified law firm, there's a lot of them obviously in the U.S., a lot of high-ranking law firms, that would give you an opinion for $200,000 probably, review the whole case and say, yes, you have a strong case and you should extract counsel and go away. You then take that opinion, then you go over to the counsel that you want to instruct, the law firm that you want to instruct to actually bring the action. I don't know to the stage that that happened, I don't know. I understand a PR firm got instructed in relation to it and was paid. I don't know why you need a PR law firm on the litigation. And to me, it just all ties in as being somewhat distasteful. I'm a big believer in my liberal way, call me old fashioned, that justice delayed is justice denied. These allegations and scandals and all the rest of it have been kicking around for a long time. I know what it's like to be accused of being involved in scandal and conspiracies and all the rest of it. It's a lousy place to be. And I have been there. And, as politicians, it happened to many politicians, especially if you maybe are, a standout and you put yourself out there, you're going to draw it. And, being completely and totally innocent of anything, it's still lousy. You don't go away and say, well, that's not me, when you see yourself all over the news and all over the paper and all the rest of it. I think any time that those things happen, they should be investigated, they should be looked at. I think that justice should run its course. I don't think it should take years and years and years. I think if you got something, then you have to act on it, and if you don't, you have to go away. And I don't think that the law should be about, if we can't find a way here, then let's find a way here, and if we can't find a way here, let's find a way here, and if we can't find a way here, let's sue you for this. And I think that, again, perceptions are reality. If people begin to look at it and say, well, that's how that looks, it's not a good thing. It's not a good vibe.
You've got a few months left in politics and you're going to resign as MP. What's life going to be like without politics? You think you're going to be tempted to come back in?
Paint more. It's my hobby,
You've got the honey-do list.
Maybe I can paint and do all that stuff. And I've got a young family, and I think when I look at, my wife made the point the other night that, when I started and the OBA got elected, my daughter was 6 months old, and she's four now, going five. And I don't think, I think I've tried to be the best dad I can be and spend as much time as possible. But there's no question that it, absorbs a lot of your time. And the areas of it that become fundamentally unnourishing, as I went through for some period of time, can be distracting. And nobody should be in a position of being that distracted from a young family. So I look forward to ensuring that, by not being involved in it further, I don't have those distractions. And I say this, Jeremy, I think other people need to step up for the love of God. I never even wanted to be in politics. I was a senator at 35 and hadn't been involved in a party or anything. And, you know, that's coming on 18 years now. You know, senator, three elections, lost one, won two, went back and, you know, won one again. And it's enough. I feel I've tried to make a contribution. You know, as of today, like Sean Crockwell, I've sat in five positions in that House and trying to make a change and trying to make a difference. You know, I didn't get it all right, not at all, but I've tried to do the very best from a conscience position, and that's what I'll do. I'd like to think that I'll be able to move into a position of being available, you know, to advise. If people want my advice, and you take it, and if it's useful, use it, and if you don't, then leave it. And I will make myself available. But as far as going out, you know, and being involved in the popularity contest again and everything that involves, I think I'm done with that.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. On that note, thank you very much,
Cheers.
Mr. Pinnacle.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate
Good to see you. Thank you. Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Burr News Current Affairs Podcast with Jeremy Deacon. Listen at your leisure on www.burrnews.com, your 24/7 Bermuda news source.